He will take care of you. Thank you, Tom, for asking me to teach and trusting me to do this. Like the other teachers, I've learned a lot by going to God's Word and looking at the topic of prayer. We read in the Gospels, is that too loud? We read in the Gospels about Jesus and his ministry, and that's going to be my topic, is Jesus Christ prayer life, specifically from the Gospels. We read about his ministry, and it's exciting to see his strength and his confidence and his fearlessness. In preparing for this teaching, I read through all the prayers of our Lord and saw how his life was saturated with prayer, and the fruit of his life showing that he had a great relationship with his Father. But there's one record that really stuck out to me as I was looking at all the records of his prayers in the Gospels. It shows a side of our Lord that I'd like to consider with you. One thing I thought about as I was studying for this is one time we got together and looked at ways that to study God's Word. You know, how to, I don't know if we called them keys to studying God's Word. In the scripture, in the context, where it's been used before. And I believe it was Wayne who taught to think. And at first I laughed, because I thought, of course you think when you read God's Word. But I think I just thought that I was thinking. I wasn't really thinking. Because if you really read God's Word and you think about what it's saying, maybe take a week and think about a section of Scripture. And that's what happened with this particular section that I want to look at. We're going to be looking at Jesus Christ's prayer in a place called Gethsemane, the night before he was taken to be crucified. He's been with his disciples explaining what was about to happen to him. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Verse 26. Like I said, this record really stuck out to me, and my prayer is that I could communicate to you what I learned. We'll start reading in verse 26, and it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.' He was explaining to them about how his shedding of his blood for the remission of sins and using the cup to illustrate the new covenant, what they were going to receive from him shedding his blood. Now his disciples had been with Jesus for a long time. Jesus Christ was always teaching them, always trying to prepare them for this time that was about to happen. This wasn't new information for the disciples. Knowing the time had come, Jesus Christ took his disciples to a garden called Gethsemane at the foot of a Mount of Olives. And our Lord praying before he was taken is what I want to look at in Matthew 26:36. We'll start there. It says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, 'Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder.' And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Would you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were very heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. We're going to look, that's the first record. It's in Mark and Luke, and we're going to read each of those records to get a little scripture build-up, because each of those records have a little bit more information or written a little bit differently. So if you would turn to Mark, chapter 14. Kind of gives a bigger picture. Chapter 14, verse 32. Everybody there? It says, And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away, and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were very heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, came Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now let's go to Luke chapter 22. The same account, chapter 22, verse 39. Twenty-two, It says, "And he came out and went, and as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray, that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the twelve, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him." Reading all three records, did you notice how each one described how Jesus Christ was feeling? It says his soul was exceeding sorrowful. It says his heart was feeling very heavy. It says he was in agony. This describes a very human nature side of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's something that we can relate to. He had feelings. He had soul life. It shows him in a vulnerable, weak state. He was facing something that was painful for him to look at. His heart was heavy. What was he facing? Well, remember all the records. He pleaded with God three times. If there be any other way, take this cup from me. Let this cup pass from me. Something about that cup. What was in that cup? For him, it was separation from his heavenly Father. For him, it was God's wrath. It was hate. It was death. It was everything that we were, according to Romans. It was unrighteousness. It was every ugly, dirty sin you and I could imagine. It was your sin and mine. That's what he was facing in that cup. And all of that was unfamiliar to him. That wasn't a familiar thing for him to be looking at. It says in God's word that he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He was a sinless man. Yet he was faced to drink all of that was in that cup. He was to take our cup and give us his. In order that we can drink of his cup, he took our cup and gave us his cup. But what he was facing in that cup, in all three of those records, it brought him agony. He was going to be separated from his Father. He obviously, you know, God, if there's any other way. But he ended those prayers with, not my will, but yours. He was made to be sin for us, the scriptures say, who knew no sin. He was a sinless man. That we might be made the righteousness of God. He knew this. He knew the scriptures. He was facing what we deserved. What we were was in that cup. Let's turn to Isaiah 53. In verse 1. Isaiah 53, verse 1. It says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid him, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Jesus Christ knew these scriptures. He knew what he was here to do. He would have read that. He would have known that. He knew what he was here for. He knew what he was here to do. Yet he prayed that prayer 3 times. "God, if there's any other way." He knew the scriptures. He knew that it said it pleased the Lord to bruise him, that his soul was to be an offering for sin. He knew that it says he will see of the travail of his soul. He was to bear their iniquities. He knew what he was facing. Turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. He knew all this was going to happen. He also knew that God was going to get him up. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he returned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." He knew that God was going to get him up. He knew that as well. He trusted God's word. He knew what he was here for. And he also knew that God was going to get him up. He trusted God. So what did he do with his feelings and emotions? You know, the scriptures say he was in agony. What did he do with that? He fell on his face. He got on his knees. He went to his Father with all that pain in his heart, all that he was facing. Even though he knew what he was supposed to do, he still took that to his Heavenly Father. In Matthew, it said that he fell on his face and prayed. In Mark, it says he fell on the ground and prayed. In Luke, it says he was on his knees praying. He was in such agony that his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down on the ground. He didn't hold back from God. And he prayed 3 times the same prayer. What was his answer to prayer? Well, we read that in Luke. In Luke it said, God sent an angel to strengthen him to go through it. He didn't even get the answer he was praying for, take this cup. The answer he got was strength to do what God wanted him to do. Not my will, but thine be done. He wanted to do it. He wanted to do what his Father wanted him to do. God gave him strength, sent that angel to give him strength. He recognized his weakness, and he wasn't afraid or ashamed to be naked and honest and get on his knees before his Heavenly Father. And his disciples were there too. He did it in front of them also, although they were sleeping. But, you know, he wasn't ashamed to pour out his God or pour out his heart before his God, the one that he trusted. You know, I put this kneeler up here just to point out that we're never going to have to face what Jesus Christ went through. He already took care of that for us. Thank God. But sometimes this life is hard. Sometimes we have challenges and we have things that come up in life. Our example of what our Lord did. You know, you think of Jesus Christ. He didn't need to pray. He didn't need to do this. Well, what about this record? What do you do with this? Prayer isn't always, like we heard in a couple teachings, that it's not always praying for something that we want and getting what we ask for. Because obviously he didn't get what he asked for, right? He recognized his weakness and wasn't afraid or ashamed to be naked and honest and get on his knees before his Father. He didn't pretend he was strong and just suck it up and do it, because that's what God's word says to do. If you need help believing, if you need help standing on God's word, ask the author of God's word, God, and remember who you're praying to. That's what he did. You know, when we're weak, he's strong. Remember? His prayer in the garden was a prayer of trust. He knew who to go to. We can trust God like he did. When we pray, even when we feel completely helpless, you know, let this be a lesson to us. We'll never have to go through what Jesus Christ went through or face what he faced. God wants our heart. He doesn't want us to... God already knows what's in there. Even if we think we're hiding, we're not. He desires us to come to him. He's not looking for perfection. None of us are perfect. He's looking for humility and a heart that will trust him and pour out your heart to him. Now, this kneeler up here, figuratively or, you know, doing it physically, I encourage all of us this week, if you haven't done it so far and you're just thinking that it'd be a nice concept to spend time with God, do it. See what God has in store for you. Please, don't let the whole week go by and just think, oh, that was a nice week. Take advantage of what you're learning. You know, we're not hiding from God. We're not gonna, he wants the good, bad, and the ugly. He knows us. He knows our frame. He knows what we're made of. He's not looking for perfection. You know, it doesn't matter how big or scary or painful. Whatever we face in our lives, we can bring to him. This is what our Lord paid for. Sometimes things are scary in this life. But God is faithful. You know, the end of the story is that he indeed went through with it, and God gave him strength to do it. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He took what we deserved. He shed his blood to take away our sin and restore us to God. We're free from all those chains that bind us to that sin that we once had. We're free from that. We can be open and honest and have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, like we see demonstrated by our Lord. He took what we deserved. We're now redeemed. We're righteous. We're holy. We have eternal life because of what he did for us. Whatever we face, whatever's in our hands, you know, perhaps it's time to get on our knees before our Father and allow him to help us. It's not about let's fake it till we make it. It's not about how we look. It's not about feeling bad. All those feelings that we have at times, he desires for us to come to him. So please don't go through the whole week and not take advantage of this. And if there's things that are on your heart, just lay them out before him, because he's faithful and he's a trustworthy God. Okay, Mike.